Podcast.
Good morning. So we're kind of wrapping up the summer, and during the summer, what we try to do, I don't know if you think about this, but as a leadership team, we try to map out our sermon series in such a way that have a certain rhythm to them, so that those of you who are participating in the life of this church and listening to the proclamation of the gospel and word, you get a full sense of the gospel and the full sense and scope of God's redemptive work in human history in the person of Jesus. And you get a full sense of the witness of the scriptures and the themes of our church. And so during the summer, we get a chance to do a variety of different fun series, but important series. And so I was reminded of some visitors who were saying, hey, we were here when you did the North Rock at the Movies series, right? This right now we're finishing up a series called Witnesses. What we're trying to do is intentionally weave a biblical understanding of what it means to be witnesses in the world, and our concrete expression of faith and support and church life as we're supporting our missionaries. We recognize. Did you guys know that we support 7 different missionaries on like 4 different continents? And yet, I know just because things get crowded sometimes, you don't get to hear all the stories about what's going on. So we're trying to take some intentional time to put them before you and connect the dots so that you see these are not just missionaries that are supporting, like professionals that we're sending overseas. This is a part of our church and its expression around the world. And so I get the privilege of introducing to you and reminding you, if you already knew, a couple of different families, the Vernons and the Moores, as they're engaging in mission in Thailand and in Kenya, okay? But before I get to their story, I want to pray and then unpack a little bit of content for you so that it can help frame what they're doing and how that's an extension of who we are. Okay, let's pray. God, thank you that you're always gathering, building, and sending your church. That this is the very movement of your life in us. And we pray that we would be responsive to that work. That we'd be attentive to all the ways that you are working. That we respond to it and then we move in faith. God, thank you that you are using North Rock Church to express your love around the world. And that's amazing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to look at the theme of this message is witness, the community of faith. Witnesses, the community of faith. We had 2 weeks ago a really great explanation from Debbie on what it is to be a witness in our own kind of personal life, right? She walked us through just the foundational ideas of the concepts of witness. And what it means to be a witness. Oftentimes we get so jacked up because we think we have certain images in our minds of what it means to be a witness. And then we say, that's not me. But when she kind of expounds that the basic tenets of being a witness is speaking and testifying to that which you've experienced, what you've seen and heard. Everyone can do that, right? You don't have to be the most eloquent of communicators. You don't have to be the most courageous of, like, all you have to do is just talk about what you've seen, you've heard. The courtrooms are filled with witnesses, right? They just come in and they share what they've seen and what they've heard. But more than that, and what I really appreciate about what she talked about is, as God's people, we're always being asked to listen and respond, to hear and to obey. And that God is at work, like I prayed, calling, building, and sending us. But what I want to continue on, I want to use that the language of witnesses that we then saw kind of expounded on last week with Chad as he gave us an update on what's going on in Alaska and the trip and how God used that trip and the men who went up there to support our missionaries in Alaska in real concrete ways to build faith within their community and friendship and camaraderie. I want to build on that and say, hey, did you realize that he's doing that with all of us? Not just those who are overseas or who are going on mission trips. In fact, we are all going to be intentionally being called to be people on mission. So I want to kind of lay that as the groundwork of what we're trying to do. So let's talk about this. I want to use the passage that Chad referenced last week, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, Jesus says, after he's resurrected and he has spent time with his disciples in community, he now gives them a commission. And he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I want to camp out on this passage and kind of break it down into three parts. Okay, this commission that Jesus, before he leaves, he gives them this kind of commission. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So the first thing I want to highlight for us real quickly is this idea of you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay? First and foremost, when we're talking about the witnessing church, we have to acknowledge and confess that the primary witness to God's redemptive work in the world, in Jesus Christ, is the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God who enlivens and enables the witness of God's love poured out for the world, so that the world might come to know him. It's that spirit of self-disclosure, of revelation. It's the Word of God who's living and active, encountering human hearts, expressed in human community, that testifies to the work of God. All throughout the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, you see the same thing happening again and again, that the Spirit is identified as the primary witness of who God is. Now, what I think's really great about this passage is that it points out that while the Holy Spirit is the primary agent, the Spirit enables and indwells in the body, the life of the church. When he says you, he's not saying you will receive power like you individuals, although that's included. He's talking to the community, the disciples that are gathered there. He's saying you all will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so the vessel in which the Spirit of God testifies to the work of God in the world is actually the community of faith. Are you with me? It's the church gathered together. So, Leslie Newbegin, who's a missiologist from the last century and who is foundational in helping the church reclaim its understanding of its life in mission, puts it this way. He says, it has become customary to speak of fellowship, service, and witness as three dimensions of the church's mission. And he says, I believe that careful reflection will show that this is actually a mistake. What he means by that is, when we talk about mission, we can't talk about it as one aspect of what the church does. That it's a department of the church. There's a missions committee that figures out how to dole out money to support missionaries, or that missions is that which happens over there, or across the seas in other contexts, right? What he says, we need to reclaim kind of an understanding of the church's mission. So when we speak of fellowship, service, and witnesses, three different dimensions, he says that's actually a mistake. If you notice, North Rock Church says we are a church that's committed to the life of worship, love, and service. You see that in our kind of mission statement and on some of our branding and whatnot. Worship, love, and service. And it's our conviction that in worship, love, and love, in worshiping, loving, and serving, that together, collectively, is our mission in the world. The whole sum of that is the full expression of the church. So every time we're worshiping, every time we're loving, every time we're serving, we are engaging in mission. We are collectively giving witness to our faith in Christ. Okay? Let's go on. So the basic reality is the creation of a new being through the presence of the Holy Spirit. That fundamentally what it means to witness is to have the Spirit of God come alive in our community and create a new being. And that new being isn't just my new being, it's our new being together, the body of Christ. This new being is the common life in the church. It is out of this new creation that both evangelism and service spring. So the real, what he's arguing for here is that the true form and expression of witness is the church itself, concretely living in the world. This new reality, namely the active presence of the Holy Spirit among men, and by men he means humans, right? It's a different time, is the primary witness. The primary witness is the church, the Holy Spirit, active and engaged in the life of the church and its life together. So that's a little bit different way of thinking about missions and missionaries and all that stuff. Like, rather than those professionals who go do specific things, is to say, hey, our whole life is a life of mission. But I want to go on and highlight this. So when it says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's talk then about what it means then that we are witnesses. Well, first of all, that word witness comes from the Greek, it's a Greek word called martyrios. It's where we get the word martyr, right? And where that kind of derives itself is that as Christians over the first few centuries began to give their life in real, like, literal ways, for the sake of the gospel, that was started to become be seen as the ultimate expression of witness. And so those words kind of combine it. And it gets a little weird on that front. But here's the thing. What I think, while that's a powerful legacy, I think what it has done is it has caused us to distance ourselves from the language of witness. Because we think to ourselves, well, if I'm not giving my life literally, then I'm not a real witness. And I like the idea of reclaiming witness as the life of where we do give our lives in worship, love, and service. And if that is that God calls us to literally lay down our life, that's going to be the Holy Spirit at work. That's going to be His agency in action. That's His gift. They actually looked at it as a gift that happens. But in all things, we're called to be witnesses. So, you see this in the New Testament. In 1 John chapter 1:1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, this is our witness. Do you see that? This conforms with what Debbie was reminding us 2 weeks ago. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. I know what I know what I know. How God has reached into my life and encountered me in such a profound way that He's begun to reshape the very life. And my life now becomes devoted and given over to Him. It's not my own anymore. I lay it down. This is our witness. But what happens when a whole community does that together? Then it becomes catalytic. Leslie Newbegin again says this: when Jesus sent out His disciples on His mission, He showed them His hands and His side. It was bodily, it was physical. They will share in His mission as they share in His passion, as they follow Him in challenging and unmasking the powers of evil. There is no other way to be with Him. At the heart of mission is simply the desire to be with Him and to give Him the service of our lives. At the heart of His mission is thanksgiving and praise. What is He basically saying? It's this idea, a theology of participation. A definition of the Christian and the Christian community is our life in Christ, Christ's life in us. There's a sharing, a fellowship, a koinonia that takes place as we give, as we encounter the living Lord. And so, when we think of things in terms of participation, we recognize then, not only am I saved in Him, but I'm given new life in Him. So that's justification and sanctification. But also His vocation becomes my vocation. His life of mission moves me into real practical ways. What's true about Him becomes true about us. His mission now is our mission. Okay? And so, it has real concrete expression, hands, side, passion. I like that. It was interesting. As they follow Him in challenging and unmasking the power of evil. We just saw what that looks like when Pastor Chad got up here and said, I want you to know we're going to name evil for what it is. And there's a movement in someone's heart when the Spirit says, give witness to the truth of who Jesus is. That we're not going to condone, we're going to speak. And we're going to act in such a way that the world will know who God really is and what God's about. That's mission. That's witness, even for us. In Acts, then, this group of people had this encounter with the Spirit who enables and moves them in such a way to speak about what they've seen and they heard. And then they tell the story. In Acts chapter 10, Peter and the other disciples are brought before others, and there's a huge kind of conversion that's taken place, and Gentiles are being brought into faith. And Peter says this: "They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and made him to appear not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commended us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." In other words, God always comes to us through people, other people. Did you get that? Jesus revealed himself not to everyone, but to some. Why? Why not reveal himself to everyone? Because God's a relational God, and he always comes to us through other people. He inhabits his people, he enlivens them, and he sends them so that they would express his love to others. He's relational. He's not just individualistic. Do you get that? So that's why the church fundamentally has to understand itself then as that relational extension of God's very heartbeat, his very love. And so the church now has begun to reclaim that identity. For a long time, it was easy for us to just say, you know, you have ordained pastors who do the work of church. They're the professional Christians. And you have missionaries that you commission to go overseas, and they do the work. And the rest of us, what do? We chill, right? We receive. We attend. But God's calling the church to remember its true calling. Let me ask you a question. Do you attend a church? Or are you the church? Do you get that? Do you attend the church on a weekend? Or are you the church? Now, some of you, when I ask that question, I know some of you are like, duh. We are the church. Some of you, though, this is a new idea to think about. I don't just attend a church. I am the church. Once we start putting on that identity, it starts to change everything. You start to realize then that the church is always happening. It's dynamic, that God's people, he's moving his people into all sorts of communities and neighborhoods and around the world. But it's not just around the world that mission's happening. Witness is taking place everywhere. Third point. So after it says, "And you will be my witnesses," it says, "In Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I don't know if you've ever done any look on a map when it describes this, but when this was being said, when Jesus said this, spoke this into his people, his disciples, into their life, they were in Jerusalem at the time. So he says, right, you're going to be my witnesses right next door, right in the neighborhood. But there's a cascading reality to this. Not only that, you're going to be my witnesses in the nearby regions. But not only in the nearby regions, you're going to go beyond to the untouchables and those that you normally wouldn't ever cross paths with. And you're going to even go all the way to the ends of the earth. And you know why? Because the Holy Spirit's in you, moving you, gathering, building, and sending you. This is your destiny. Newbegin says, "The church is not the source of the witness. Rather, it is the locus of the witness." Think about that. The church isn't the source of the witness, but it's the location of the witness. It's the place in which the people in which the Spirit is testifying to himself. The light cast by the first rays of the morning sun shining on the face of a company of travelers will be evidence that a new day is coming. Or another way of talking about it, I know that's real poetic, right? But another way of talking about this is, the church and its life together are the first fruits of what's coming. they're going to point to the new reality, the new creation that's breaking in. And so just like when you see light shining on a group of travelers, and you realize the dawn is breaking and a new day is approaching, so too when people see the church living in its witness, in its life, in its worship, in its love, in its service, they're starting to see a glimpse of what God's up to. That church is witnessing just by being the church, okay? There is a missionary dimension of everything that the church does. Everything that we do together speaks and points to that new day coming that's already breaking in. That's even now, even as we're looking for it to be fulfilled. Finally, how is it possible, New Begin says, how is it possible that the gospel should be credible? Meaning, how is it possible that someone, a person who's never heard good news of what God did in Christ, could hear the announcement that Jesus was crucified and then raised from the dead? How could they come to believe that incredible statement? How could they believe that to be really true? How is it possible that the gospel should be credible, that people should come to believe that the power which has the last word in human affairs is represented by a man hanging on a cross? That's crazy talk, right? Unless, he says, I am suggesting that the only answer, the only hermeneutic of the gospel, way we make sense of the gospel, is a congregation of men and women who believe it and live by it. Amen. It has to be lived. We need to speak it, but we need to live it. Those two go hand in hand. It's the community of the faith. It's the community of faith that is fundamentally expressed the truth of the gospel. Why do I spend all this time to build this? Okay, I want to build this in such a way that we have an understanding then when we hear the stories of the missionaries that we have sent overseas and are participating, that God has actually sent overseas, that we're sharing in their ministry. Let's not look at them as, look at that anomaly. Look at that, those extra super Christians doing this crazy good work, right? Let's not, in our heart, distance ourselves and say, that might be true for them, but it's not true for me. Let's begin to see it as that's the extension of the church to which we are all called. And what's beautiful about telling their story is that they can then model and speak to us about what it looks like for me to be God's missionary people, for us to be the community of faith right here in Thornton. We're going to show a few videos of updates of two families and what they're doing in Thailand and Kenya. And I would like to encourage you not just to go, wow, isn't that awesome? Though do that. But to go, God, show me something about how they are creatively engaging in being the church. And may that model to us here at North Rock what we are called to be and to do. Let's watch this together. The first, we're going to talk about Paul and Lori Vernon, okay? They are in Thailand, and we've been supporting them for 12 years. 12 years. Some of you haven't been a part of that 12 years, and you're just now getting on board. But don't you see the power of a collective witness? That there's a legacy, and there's a history together? And you need to know that even for us, even myself, new to the game here, that Paul and Lori see us as an extension of their church. Let's watch this video as they update us.
As we've seen God's kingdom advancing among the Akha in northern Thailand, our efforts have expanded to include the Akha in all five nations that they live.
We call our missions outreach program Seven Borders, because among those five countries, there are seven shared borders that connect the Akha of Southeast Asia. Akha Outreach Media is one of the main tools that we're using to reach the Akha with the gospel. We're finding that media is such a powerful tool and can reach so much farther than a single person can. It can be copied over and over again and can cross borders without a visa.
The second program in our Seven Borders ministry is our Bible Translation Project. Right now we have leaders from four different nations who are working together to create a Bible that is applicable and readable for the Akha in every nation in which they live. I've had the honor of being a part of this team in a support role for a number of years, and it's been wonderful to watch as these leaders take the Greek text and accurately translate it into Akha, and then take those Akha words and rearrange the sentences in such a way that it works in every one of the nations that it will be read in. Trying one way, then trying another way, until finally the sentence is read in such a way that the entire room goes silent, because we all know that we have just heard the inspired Word of God.
With the exception of Thailand, all of these countries are closed to the spread of the gospel. However, through Akha Outreach Media, the Bible Translation Project, and the relationships that we're building in other countries, we continue to see the kingdom advancing among the Akha of Southeast Asia. Hi, everyone. I'm Laura.
No.
Where they live. And Thailand Foundation continue to see the kingdom advancing among the Akha of Southeast Asia. Hi, everyone. I'm Lori, and this is Paul. We're the Vernons. We live in Thailand. We've been here for about 12 years. We work in the northern part of Thailand with a hill tribe group called the Akha. We work for a foundation called Akha Outreach Foundation, which ministers specifically to the Akha people, and our focus is not just to the Akha people in Thailand, but the Akha people throughout the five countries where they live. So it's been a while since we've been back in the States, and we wanted to give you a little bit of an update about what's going on with us.
We've been really busy for the past several years. My main focus at the foundation is I work with our media team, where we produce gospel language content in the Akha language for the Akha in all five nations in which they live. Right now we're working on a original piece about the prodigal son, kind of set in an Akha setting. And we're also doing some dubbing projects and a few other original pieces. In addition to that, I'm teaching in our Bible schools. We have a monthly school where our pastors, our vocational pastors, come in for about 3 days once a month and just study full-time for those 3 days. To those pastors, I'm honored to be able to teach theology. And then to our full-time students, our college students, I'm teaching Old Testament survey. In addition to those classes and those responsibilities, I've begun my master's degree. In fact, I'm halfway done my master's degree right now, taking it at Asia Life University in Korea. Master's of Arts in Transformational Leadership. So all of those things have kept us very, very busy for the past several years.
And right now, I'm not working directly with the foundation. My main ministry is as a mother, and first and foremost, that's to our own three kids who are aged 10, 6, and 3. And as many of you know, mothering is a full-time job, but even beyond our own three kids, we kind of have some Akha young adults who are currently living with us who have just come out of difficult situations and needed a place to be. And so right now I'm also kind of mother to those young adults and mentor to those young adults as they're living in our home. In addition to just kind of the main mothering and mentoring that I'm doing in the home, I also am teaching Bible to 10th graders at the international school where our children attend.
All of this busyness really isn't in vain. We're seeing some incredible fruit amongst the Akha people in this season. Our directors and the ministry at Akha Outreach Foundation have really been faithful to foster a heart for revival and a prayer for the Holy Spirit to move amongst the Akha people. And we've seen that move happening in powerful ways. We're seeing young leaders grow up in maturity beyond their years, and we're seeing the leaders who've gone before us stepping out into new levels of revelation and leadership. It's been a blessing, this entire process. All that busyness has been why we haven't been home. We haven't been home in 3 years, and it'll be a couple more years before we make it. In 2019, we'll take our next furlough and home assignment, and we'll hope to see you all then. But until then, we want to say thank you for your faithfulness, for your prayer, for your financial support. It means the world to us to know that even after all of these years, 12 years serving here in Thailand, you guys have been so faithful to us. Thank you all. We love you.
So that's the Vernons, and I think it's really neat. I don't know if you guys caught this a couple weeks ago, but Debbie shared the story of how you heard their ministry. One of them is in the multimedia end of things. And even in Thailand now, they're starting to do some crazy training and interesting video work and videography and that sort of thing. But what was crazy for me to hear was Debbie sharing the story about how her daughter, Tiffany, down in Honduras, and the ministry she's engaged in, the church she's actually, they have someone on their team that went to Thailand to learn how to be trained up in media for the ministry in Honduras. So, like, it's just neat to see our church as an extended family supporting one another around the world, okay? The other one I want to highlight for you this morning are the Moors. And Clinton and Patiana Moore, they visited with us a couple years ago, but some of you might not have gotten to see and meet them, so we wanted to put them before you as well. They have a couple updates for us, not just in terms of ministry, but also in terms of family life and how we can be praying for and supporting them. So let's watch that video all the way through, okay?
Well, good morning. We are up at a church in a beautiful place. Called Itando, and right now we're waiting for a few leaders to show up, and then we're going to spend today trying to give them the tools and the skills to be able to start making disciples out here in their community, which you can see. So in a few minutes we'll be getting started, but wanted to give you a quick idea of where we are today and just where God brought us to and what kind of places that we get the opportunity to travel to and then to train into. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. It's going to be a great day.
Well, hello, everybody, our friends, our family, our partners. Thank you for your prayers. You'll notice that talking to you from our new office and our new house. If you want to see more of that, you can watch our family update. But I wanted to give you a quick update about ministry. We had an incredible trip in June where we were able to cast a vision for how every person in the church can begin making disciples in their homes. And we were able to cast this vision to over 1,000 people from 46 different churches. It was a great, great experience, and we've had wonderful feedback. We were also able to do a series of discipleship leader trainings, giving people the tools and the skills to be able to lead discipleship groups in their homes. And we were able to do this for 31 people from 15 churches. So this trip was really exciting to see that God had already prepared a lot of people before we got there. Now, you will notice that I'm giving this update alone because my wonderful wife is off at an incredible conference up in the UK, and she was able to get an amazing scholarship, and God has really opened the doors. And I'm excited for what this conference is going to do and teach and show her for the ministry that she is doing here back in Kenya. So let me let her give you a quick update. We filmed this right before she left. In fact, moments before we got in the car to go to the airport. But here's a quick video from Patiana.
Hey everybody, we are on our way to the airport here in just a second. I'm going to be heading to England for the next 20 days where I get to participate in an amazing conference called Oxbridge. I actually got a scholarship to attend, and so it's an amazing conference. This year's theme is Theology and the Creative Arts in Mission. So if you guys know anything about me, you know that those are my three big passions in life: theology, creative arts, and mission. So I'm going to go do that for 20 days and see what the Lord has for me. I'm going to learn and grow and be challenged and network and come back with all kinds of amazing things to do in ministry. So if you would, please keep me in your prayers. It's a long time to be away from the family, and I'm going to miss them terribly. But just keep me in your prayers that the Lord's going to do what he's going to do, that I'll be listening and attentive and be able to bring back a lot of great things. Thanks so much.
Now, in July, we had a few canceled trips and a few rescheduled, primarily due to the fact that we have the election coming up. So we've heard some reports from the UK as well as some reports from the US that this could be a really challenging election. And so we are praying for peace. We're staying home and watching the news and really praying. And so would you join us in praying that Kenya would have a very peaceful election the first week of August, and that that the results of that election would go smoothly. Yes, but more importantly, we are talking to you from our new home. This is the office that Patiana and I will share since we work from home a lot of the time. And we are just so unbelievably blessed to be in our new house. So if you've thought that we were quiet, we've been in the process of moving and trying to get internet installed and painting rooms and painting offices and just getting settled in. And so thank you for your prayers. The Lord has been faithful and we are so excited. If you're wondering how you can pray for us, I will be home alone with the kids for 20 days. So you can pray for us. More specifically, me and the girls and Patiana, because God is doing great things. But because I'm home alone with the girls, I thought this would be a fun chance for them to get to say hi and give you a quick update.
Hi, my name is Eliana, and I'm going to go in third grade. I hope you're praying for me that I do well. And I miss my mom, but I'm okay. Because it happens that people go and then people come again. And I'm doing okay, like getting ready to go to third grade, but I'm a little nervous. Hope you're praying for me. Bye.
What's your name?
Jolie.
Jolie. And do you like your new house?
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about the house?
My dolly's in my scooter.
Your dolly's in your scooter. And what grade are you about to go into at school?
First grade.
First grade. And what are you looking forward to in first grade?
Playground.
Playground. And what do you want to ask people to pray for?
That I do well.
That you do well in school?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Say bye.
Bye.
Once again, thank you so much for your prayers. We're enjoying our new home. We're enjoying our last few weeks off before the girls go back to school. And we're doing really well as a family. So we're excited for what we're doing. We're excited for what God is doing. And we'll give you another update in a few months. Bye-bye.
The chance to hear from them in their own words, right? Isn't technology amazing? Here's the thing that I want to tie this all together. What I love, even though those are so different, such different contexts, Thailand and Kenya and North Rock here in the United States, what's the common thread? That everyone that you just heard from, they're investing in the church. Like they're committed to Christ Church. And they understand that they're not, that the very purpose, what God has equipped them and given them gifts for, is to make disciples and to make deposits in the church. And that's what's going on here. We're committed to the church, all of us together, discipling each other. And so we're all if that's the case, then we're all on mission. And we're connected across the globe in that common cause, the cause of Jesus. So because we're connected in that kind of way, I thought it would be appropriate that we've been asked to pray for them, right? Did you pick up on that? So I'm going to ask Lori, Pastor Lori, to come up and lead us in a time of corporate prayer as we pray for all our missionaries, but in particular, the Vernons and the Moores.
Good? Yes, here we go. We have our prayer request in front of us. So let's come together as a church family and lift up these precious people and pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys agree with me in this prayer? Father, thank you. Thank you for North Rock Church. Thank you, Lord, that we get to partner with and be a family with the Moores in Kenya and the Vernons in Thailand, Tiff in Honduras, the Dacuses in Albania and the Gendrons in France. Lord, we get to partner with you in the work that you're doing in these areas and here locally at North Rock Church. Father, we lift up the Vernons to you, precious people who are really excited about their mission that you've put them on in Thailand, reaching the Akha people. And Lord, we pray for Lori as she is being a mom, but not only to her kids, but to other kids mm-hmm. that they've invited into their home. So Lord, we pray that you would give Paul and Lori wisdom and discernment on how to move forward in that. And Lord, we pray also for their protection, Lord, as they go into locked countries around them through multimedia to spread your good news. We're just so thankful for that. And we pray, Lord, that your word would advance in those areas. And Lord, we pray for Clinton and Patiana in Kenya. I don't know the results of the election that just happened in the first part of August. But Lord, we're praying for your peace to descend in Kenya. Lord, that your peace would be ever present mm-hmm. Around Clinton and Pontiana and their new home that they're in and the school that the kids are going to get to go to. Lord, we pray a little special prayer for Clinton right now, as I believe he's in the middle of this 20 days without his wife. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just bless this time for Clinton and his two girls, and as they're getting ready for school. Lord, those little ones have asked for us to pray for them, so we're lifting them up right mm-hmm. now to you and praying that they would just have a super blessed year this year in school, and that you would enlarge what they're able to reach and as far as the kids that are surrounded them as well. And Lord, we pray for Patiana, she's doing what she loves. And so she's learning and she's growing, and she'd be able to come back to Kenya just more on fire for you. So we're just thanking you, Lord, for these precious people. Mm-hmm. And just real quick, for Tiff in Honduras, Lord, I pray that you would bless her. The Gendrones in France, Lord, that you would bless them. Lord, the Dacuses in Albania, that you would bless them as well. And Lord, help us not to forget, but as you plant and just remind us of these precious people all around the world, Lord, that you would help us to continue to pray for them with these requests that they've put out before us. And we're just asking this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Lori. So hopefully this is the beginning of an ongoing conversation that you and God and the church are having. And we're beginning to see ourselves a little bit differently, right? Not just attending, but participating as the church. If you get the prompting or the sense that one of our missionaries, sets of missionaries are on your heart, and that might be God really kind of nudging you to be praying for them and supporting them in a more intentional way. If that is something that God is doing with you, I'd encourage you to talk to Pastor Debbie, and she will put you in contact with them. I'm positive of this. Across the board, everyone would love to hear from their home church that's helping support them, or one of their churches that is supporting them. So with that, I invite you to stand, and we're going to respond in worship and faith and ask God to continue to gather, build, and send us, and we explore together what it looks like to live a life on mission. Let me pray for us. God, thank you that you always are doing your work and you're always building your church. We're reminded of that because Jesus said it. And so we pray that we would receive the work that you're doing in and through us, and that we'd live into it. We participate in it in real and concrete ways as a people, a community of faith. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.